Hello, everyone. Sandow 61. We are 61 episodes into this grand experiment. Today, I have an interview with the Whale Council, whale.me, whale members, a lot of different words, a lot of different whale words. We're going to go over that as part of one of our questions. Today, I have two people, Mongoose and Nightmare, and we will be learning about the whale members and who they are and what they do. Welcome, Knight. Welcome, Mongoose.
Hey, Lanzer. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So the scope of the talk today is a meet and greet and a learning opportunity. Mongoose and Knight have graciously given us their time to learn about them. And the disclaimer is that none of us represent the Sandbox game or the Sandbox Style Foundation. We are not your financial or legal advisors, and nothing we say is to be taken as financial or legal advice. When we use the word SIP, we're talking about Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When we say the word DAO, we mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And when we use the word SandFam, we're talking about the Sandbox community, those who participate in the people, product, and the purpose of the Sandbox ecosystem. That ecosystem looks a little bit like this. We went over it in Sandow 31. The people sector have everything from the gamers to the Sandbox team. The product is everything from the game client to the DAO itself. And the purpose is not only what was in the white paper from 2020, but also what was expanded upon by the co-founders Sebastian Bourget and Arthur Madrid. All that together equals that round and round ecosystem that we use and we participate in day to day. And today's episode is squarely on a very prominent, I could use the word prominent, but long-standing OG landowner within the Sandbox ecosystem, the Whale Vault. So you've likely seen the big giant whale all over the map. This is the team behind that, and today we're going to talk about exactly who they are and what they do. I have Mongoose, head of Partnerships and Outreach, and Nightmare, co-founder and head of culture. Mongoose, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself before we hit Nightmare.
Sure, yeah. I'm Mongoose, or Ryan. You know, either way is fine by me. I'm the head of partnerships and outreach for Whale. I've been working with Whale since about 2022, member of the community since 2021, and generally involved in crypto since 2017. And I say all that knowing that some people in the space are having beef right now with folks who identify their year associated with crypto. So not trying really? To flex anything here, but just, you know, just want to give it some context here. But otherwise, I come out of a classical music background mixed with some art presentation, production, and also tech business. So that's where I'm coming from.
I too have a classical music background. I don't think we talk much about that. I used to be a composer back when.
Same. I consider myself a lapsed composer, lapsed trumpet player, but ultimately I've always found myself supporting the arts and artists, creators, essentially, right? Anything that's made artisanal, I really get behind and I want to support those folks because often they need extra help to do what they're doing and not focusing on some of the more administrative operational aspects that some of us can cover a lot better.
Gotcha. And I'm not surprised to find you associated with Whale now that I understand the artisanal background of it all. What led you to the Whale members?
I would say it was back in the day, it was Clubhouse, if you remember that time, right? And it was just the beginning of the pandemic. Or maybe we're square into the pandemic by that point, but you know, I found myself really needing to find a new artistic outlet, and you know, I might have a creative background and enjoy that aspect of the arts, but again, you know, I want to be there listening to other people talk about their art, their creative process, and you know, be involved in that way. So I actually heard Whale Shark and Nightmare talking on a Clubhouse talk. And, you know, what they were saying really resonated with me in terms of access, you know, and what Web3 and the blockchain really provided to artists, creators, collectors, you know, anybody who was looking for provenance, who was looking for equality, who was looking for democracy. There's so many aspects here that really hooked me. And I followed another person into the Whale Discord. And from there, I mean, I immediately just resonated with it. And I found myself wanting to listen to all the artist talks, all the artist interviews. And then I found myself volunteering to take minutes for Whale Hour that happened, you know, once every few weeks, where all the leadership gets together and talk. You know, we're still doing that today. And, you know, it just kind of progressed from there. And I think that's kind of a typical thing for Web3, is you find yourself just kind of constantly immersed to the point where you just naturally want to get involved, right? And you lend your talents, your experience, your background to whatever's needed at that point. So I'm happy to still be along for the ride. And, you know, 2025 is looking to be just an incredible year. So it's great to be here.
Thank you. Glad to have you here, Mongoose. Knight, how about yourself?
Ah, what a long journey it's been. First of all, involved in cryptocurrency relatively early, at least, you know, in comparison to the NFT cycle and how we find ourselves here in Web3. So I have a couple of cycles under my belt. I've always been rather tech forward, come from a background being a gamer, come from a background being a musician. You know, I've released albums and you know, performed broadly where I am. And also published a lot, and likewise found myself just immersed in different projects through cryptocurrency. I think that I lean pretty libertarian when it comes to, you know, fiscal things and you know, autonomy and rights and you know, the ability to carry your personification online without social constructs and a lot of the things that Web3, you know, really helps enable. And I do that while also moonlighting, I guess you could say, with a corporate gig. I help manage business and operations for a $8 billion international brand. So I carry some of that, you know, skill set with me to everything that I also do, and have this odd amalgamation of things and interests and skills, and found my way to Whale when it was kind of starting, right there at the onset in summer 2020, when Whale Shark was coalescing kind of community around tokenization and Web3. That was the first community to really do that. There was disparate pockets, and it was the first thing that kind of broadly took it and brought it all together. And, you know, I was enamored with the possibilities of Web3, of having a home base to do a lot of the things that I found fascinating and empowering about the space. And much like Mongoose, found myself, you know, volunteering to do different things, and your skill set gets recognized and, you know, along the way, empowered to do more and more. And so I've been fortunate through the years to do a lot of really cool shit, you know, from interviewing MC Hammer and then, you know, hanging with Jake Paul and Paris Hilton and all of these people. Yeah, all of these people that were along for the last cycle for the NFT bull run. I'm taking calls with museums and just doing things I never would have dreamed were possible otherwise. And it's all because of, you know, this incredible stuff Web3 provides. So, you know, I continue to build and we continue to do cool shit, and we have a lot of stuff on the slate as well for the future. But it is an octopus. There's so many different realms that we play in and different things. And I love it. It's a passion for me. It always has been. And, you know, I'm just blessed to be in a position to be able to do something about it.
That's awesome. We're definitely be getting into that. So 2020. All right, before we get into like the backgrounds and everything else, terminology clarification. Please help me understand. There are so many whale monikers in here. How do I parse them out?
Well, I'll preface this by saying whale is the name of the project. Whale, period. It's just whale. Whale. Okay. It was started by Whale Shark, you know, his vision in early 2020, after he had been doing a lot of collecting in 2019, I think 2018 as well, and a project to really bring a lot of the different facets of Web3 that were emerging: crypto art, community of creators, gamers. Like the guy had 400,000 Gods and Chain cards or something crazy like that, right? The metaverse. And so I think the vision at the time was enabling people to harness the power of multiple assets in Web3 and community in Web3 and allow them to become whales, whatever that manifestation meant, whether that meant monetarily because they were speculators, whether that meant because they had a lot of stuff, whether that meant, you know, they roamed in a pod of people with like interests and really helped each other. And so Whale is the name of the project. For a long time, there was a Twitter and some media presence. We called it Whale Community to kind of represent, you know, that broader base and not just our founder, because certainly he has very strong opinions and he did at the time relative to PFPs and like all this other stuff. And as a community, you know, we represent a lot more than that, right? Like sometimes we, you know, we definitely butt heads and don't have the same vision. And so, you know, the project is bigger than him. It evolved and he literally handed it off to the community. So he, you know, he collected and had the vision and then donated all of these assets. So our entire Whale vault, which is, you know, vacillates in value, but right now I think our latest valuation was $42 million. At peak, it was $150 million. He donated that to the community and said, hey, this community that I've built, you guys run this. This is yours. And so the community is how we wanted to reflect a lot of what we do. It's different than just Whale Shark. So Whale, you can imagine on socials, on whatever, a Medium, a Twitter, there's going to be a million things just called Whale. So we needed to distinguish what we were and really call out what it is. So it became Whale Community, Whale Members, Whale.me. I couldn't even tell you why they picked that domain. Maybe that was hot at the time. I don't know. But Whale is the name of the project.
Gotcha. And then Whale Tales, was that like a newsletter?
Correct. You know, depending on where you are throughout the history here of the past 5 years, there was a time where we were banging out Medium articles because that's really what our community and what the macro NFT community want. And so Whale Tales was that component. You know, Whale FM was a cycle of, gosh, Mongoose, at one point we were hitting like 10 different sessions a week where we would live stream with artists, with games, with creators, and we were just going ham on interviews and live streaming, right? So we have a lot of different wings of how we delivered and interacted with the community, but really based on the pulse of the community. Were they looking for that at the time? Were they coalescing elsewhere, aggregating towards different things? So, you know, we've had a lot of different names and iterations for it, but the core base of it, period, is Whale.
Got it. And is Whale FM when you interviewed MC Hammer and Paris Hilton?
Whale FM was the broad umbrella of anything we took live at the time. I think that actually predates Twitter Spaces, right? And then we carried it over to Twitter Spaces. But yeah, like during the 2021-2022 NFT cycle, I mean, the gamut came through as far as celebrities and interesting people and, you know, celebrities, some of them were here for the grift and we tried to have difficult conversations with them about it. And some of them, some more introspective and really getting to the crux of why it was empowering and trying to champion this to a broader audience. If I have 1,000 eyeballs because I was interviewing Kashmir at the time, and all those EDM folks were tuning in, then I was trying to, you know, make sure that they understood and got some of the messaging on why Web3 was positive as well, right? So yeah, we did a lot of cool stuff. We, you know, museum founders, people that were important in the world of science and in politics, a lot of very cool conversations and interactions. And we continue to have some of those to this day.
Right. Well, Nightmare, I'd also say too, you had children, you had creators who were very young, very old, from all walks of life, right? Developers, artists, musicians, you know, Nightmare started this blockchain beats focus on music NFTs, which is something that we hadn't seen much of, and I think still is kind of a dark horse in the Web3 space. But, you know, that's again one of the things that really attracted me to Whale to get more and more involved was just it was not just focused on ape JPEGs. And there's maybe nothing wrong with that at the end of the day, but so many Web2 communities, I feel like, have very singular myopic visions, or they just have blinders on that are focused on just going to the moon, whatever it might be. And, you know, Whale has a very different scope, which is really refreshing.
Gotcha.
And that is not to say we're adverse to the other. Like, I believe speculators and people that do want to go to the moon and all that aspect of culture, it's here and it plays a role in the macro. But I think having a more balanced take, a more nuanced take of, you know, how you approach it and community, and even when there's divergent opinions, I think that's valuable, and that's hard to find. And we're blessed to have that in large part because of how we came to be. Like, early, there was no other communities, and in our community, our Discord, our media was the artist shoulder to shoulder with the builders of the platform. Sebastian was in there, right? Ben from Crypto Voxels was in there. We had Hackatal, a lot of money, all these people in our Discord, along with the enthusiasts and people that were just checking out Web3 because they're in a third world country and they think it's something that could empower them. It was a beautiful combination of different motives and reasons for people to be there. And I think that broad base and that rich tapestry that paints our history is part of why we have a unique position in what we do in Web3.
Gotcha. So now we have a Whale DAO. That's what... and then we have a Whale token. So the Whale token's been around for quite some time, and that itself has remained pretty strong, pretty unmoved. So... is there anything underpinning the token itself, or is it just tokenomics as I've seen it on the Discord?
So we have the vault, right? The vault of assets, and the assets are within the control of the community, but it's not we've never painted it as fractionalization of the vault itself. Although, okay, Essentially now that we've gone to one whale equals one vote, in effect, it's more closer to that than it has been in the past. But the token represented a social currency, which at the time was relatively novel. There had been a few before us, but we were one of the first to really take a basket of assets and the power of a community and an influential founder and say, hey, this token represents everything we are doing. That coincided with kind of everybody learning about NFTs. Okay. And so the valuation has fluctuated significantly. I think at launch it was pennies, right? At peak, I think it was $50. It's gone down. It's come back up to $20, $30. I think now it's back into the cents, given what has happened in the market over the past several months. But that being said, you know, if you extrapolate that token value versus the circulation and then juxtapose it with the vault assets, you can see that certainly there are levers there that will make sure that this continues to be something that we can use to reward the community, to entice the community to participate, because at the end of the day, it's a social currency, and that's what we value it for: rewarding people, using it within our ecosystem, and really helping empower those different things that we find important for Web3. But that being said, you know, we understand the other aspects of the market, and there are mechanisms in place within what we do here at Whale. Like, there's of those assets, you know, it's long been recorded that, you know, when we take them to market, part of the proceeds from that sale would go into buying back the token. So then we would have more supply that again, reward the community, and, you know, the tokenomics will respond in kind. But that's not really our core focus here, right? That's not what we do. We have a much broader vision, and it's a long-term vision. So, you know, people that are looking from a speculative perspective oftentimes have to take a step back and understand what we do and what the mechanisms are to understand what could trigger what and where we are. But at the core of what we do, it's not make number go up, although that is part of the equation, certainly for us as a project. But it's much more important that we focus on, from a culture perspective, what we want to do with the art and be stewards of the history that really we helped paint here.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And so the current leadership, when I was looking up on the website, it looks like the current leadership is Whale Shark, Zorro, Decryptolorian, and then yourself?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, and just going back in time, just myself having watched some of the whale town halls, that wasn't always the case. It seems like it was Whale Shark for a while until he decentralized the leadership. How does that work?
Yeah, and it really, so when we talk about this, we're talking about over a 5-year period, right? So this has gone through several iterations. At first, he was the founder, and of course, he had a team to support his project and what he would do, and then, you know, help disseminate kind of his objectives and incorporate a lot of the good ideas from the community into people he put into some various leadership positions. You know, we had kind of a very streamlined corporate structure at one point with silos. At one point, we were at 30 people on the team, right? Because things were just moving so fast in the NFT space. And then it continued to evolve. I think one of the big transitions was to heads of respective departments. So there was a person that was in charge of just operations, and that was their focus, a person in charge of art, a person in charge of community, et cetera. And then through time, and I think through kind of seeing, you know, people's colors through, we went through a bear market, like a really rough bear market. And I think participation in any project vacillates and can go up and down, sure. But we went through the dead of the bear, and the people that were still contributing because it was a passion for them and what they believed and wanted to do. They weren't dissuaded by the swing in a token or market, you know, sentiment that were still there. He wanted to recognize and say, hey, these people we want to empower as well. Right. And so, now we have kind of a more decentralized structure where he's not really calling the shots. He's just a person within our leadership group, and the other leaders have respective things that they focus on. But really, you know, if Zorro, if you're familiar, anyone on our Discord knows Zorro, he's like the AI wizard, infrastructure master. He's got all kinds of stuff going with regards to the Discord, with our socials or whatever. He's not really the art. He's not really the gaming guy. But if there's something that we really think is important, we're all going to have a voice in that decision, right? And so it's more of a decentralized leadership structure now. And some of the people that have been there since the very beginning, along with Whale Shark and you know, shown what they could do, have been empowered in different ways. You know, there's a number of us that have been made co-founders, almost similar to like being made partner, I guess, at a law firm or something, right? You guys have been here since the beginning. You're major contributors. You're a key linchpin in this. We're going to formally recognize you. There's people that have been empowered and become different roles. Like a person went from a volunteer to a writer to, you know, a head of art. Right. And when we talk about Wes and what he's shown and what he's done, and likewise with Mongoose, he had a similar path. So people have been empowered and put in position to take the reins on different initiatives and really focus on their core competencies and their strengths. But basically, do what you enjoy and do dope shit. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to manifest into what you see, right? When you see the interview that Mongoose does, it's super passionate. Everyone loves it. And that's a testament to his passion that he's always brought, not just the recognition that he has.
Yeah, I remember back when I first started looking into Whale and happened across Natively Digital. And Mongoose, I don't know if you remember, you and Wes allowed me up to the stage. And I just so happened to be talking about Sandbox at the time. And I didn't understand at the time that you all were like very, very focused on the art version. And when I brought in the Sandbox thing, it was kind of a divergence from your normal agenda. And I thought that was very gracious of you. Once I realized that, I just kind of, because I'm super passionate about like DAOs.
Yeah,
like
that's the thing is that, you know, we're all multifaceted people, right? And we not only have our digital personas, the avatars, the monikers we go by, what we choose as our PFP, or what we choose to even like show in our wallets on OpenSea, right? That curated aspect. There is some part of crypto Twitter that is just a LARP, right? At the end of the day, it is not even a full realization of who we are across social media. It just tends to be very tailored towards crypto. So, Yeah, I remember that episode very well, and you had a great passion about DAOs. Both Wes and I, and I'm sure Nightmare too, you know, have been involved in numerous DAOs throughout our time in crypto, and you know, Whale is just another one. Whale for me, Whale DAO specifically, is one that I really uphold as one that's been launched in a great way. It didn't just kind of spring out of nothing. There was great intent and purpose behind it, and great structure and thought. And, you know, I think I've expressed this to you, Lancer, and in general, you know, I'm not somebody who believes in just kind of spinning something up for the sake of it. I really do think that there should be, you know, some intent and really understanding of what you're doing, some strategy. And that for me, decentralized autonomous organization is almost a little bit of a misnomer. I think distribution is probably a better way to go about it, and understanding how we distribute that power and still make sure that things run properly and run as they should and scale up. So I think that conversation was great, because we kind of talked about this general notion that sometimes DAOs just they're too autonomous from the beginning, and there's no real guidance to them, and they very easily fall apart. You know, quite often there needs to be kind of a structure that's kind of driving it. In this case, you know, the Whale leadership. I think it was very important for Whale Shark to, you know, from my perspective, from when I very first started working at Whale, or even just showing up in the Discord, I did not see Whale Shark as the sole central figure. He might have been kind of that impetus for me joining, listening to him and Nightmare talk on that Clubhouse talk. But it was everybody else contributing to the conversation. It was my ability to contribute to that conversation that got me to stick around and be in more involved, right? So I do think that that's really important. And, you know, I would hope that every DAO can kind of go through that realization that it does need some kind of centralized structure for operation that enables the whole larger organization to be able to talk and share their ideas and be involved.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that conversation. In addition to being a musician and a writer, I have a business background. I've owned my own business for quite some time. So as soon as DAOs came together, and I see G in the chat, big shout out to G. He also mentioned anyone who uses the word tapestry allegorically gets a nod from him. He uses that word quite often in his spaces. That's Mochaverse Hall on Mondays, by the way. Later on tonight, so check it out if you're free. Nice. But anyways, yeah, when the DAO started happening last May, that was my first introduction to a DAO. And then it just all clicked into place for me. All the whole decentralized leadership and how we vote, and just I've been looking for something like that for quite some time. And then you all announced the Whale DAO back in September, and then I think it was that same day that I pushed out a proposal, because in my professional life I negotiate contracts, I write proposals, and so churning out, you know, a one-page proposal was just right up my alley. Hence my disclosure to the whole group is I was the author of Wavy One proposal that passed. So just set that out there for everybody. And I've been very interested in trying to connect the Whale community to the Sandbox community, because there is clearly a connection. But it was also obvious that once you spent some time with the Whale community, that the interests weren't the same. You know, the way the Sandbox and what they're interested in is different than what the Whale community's spends most of their time in, at the very least. And so that's where I wanted to talk about next, was back in September, Whale Shark announced that the multi-sig had occurred, the Whale DAO would be stood up, and then like that day or the next day, I submitted the proposal. was that a tough thing, like a tough sell, or was that just you understood that's the way it needed to go?
What Two quick things, Lancer. Number one, when you mentioned that you popped in and were like, hey, natively digital, this isn't the space for a DAO discussion. It's not that it's not the space. In fact, that's the whole concept of natively digital, is like anything going on in Web3, we want to talk about it, but from a cultural perspective, right? There's a lot of spaces that are we're going to make so much money or this, and that's not what it is. It's like all the cultural nuance. And so oftentimes that's the crypto market in a macro. It could be art specific, it could be a PFP crazy thing going on, whatever. So you are more than welcome. We will continue to welcome. It's just you are, as you said, from your business background, you're like hyper focused, sure, more so in the weeds than we probably are. But we love that. That it really enriches it. That's the thing. Like, come to our community and bring that. That's what we love, is that breadth of different interest, right? So love that you came in, and love that you did that. So please don't ever feel like you can't do that. The other thing I wanted to mention is,
I understand I can be a little intense about it sometimes. I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, we can see you, right? Believe me, I have things I geek on hard too as well, and I get made fun for it plenty in the Discord. The other thing is, I saw a reference to like the Whale DAO standing up in September 2024. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know this too, but just to clarify for anyone that could be listening in, we've existed as a DAO for these 5 years. It just wasn't in the current incarnation. Initially, it was primarily run manually through our Discord. We had a number of processes that people would use to propose votes and how it have to pass the House and then the Senate. And people had different roles that they staked in order to be able to be a vote, to have their vote in the Senate, etc.
Oh, I missed that.
V2
then.
It was always said that when Whale Shark initially set it up, there was a lot of questions like, this isn't totally autonomous, this is not automated. And he said, by design, right? We have a $50 million basket of assets. I want to be confident in the community that we're handing it to, that it'll be cared for, not only for monetarily purposes, but for legacy, for culture, for our mission. Gotcha. Okay, number one. Number two, is the technology there to safeguard this without us having manual, intervention here? At the time, and I mean, look at what just happened. What just happened with Safe and Genosis and Ledger and everything, right? That just happened now. Rewind 5 years ago and imagine where we're at, right? So there's concerns from that perspective. And also, I think that, we as a group, I can't speak for everyone, but I can say at least personally, have always been an advocate of almost a hybrid governance type of structure where you have some leadership kind of at least giving you some, North Star or some direction on, hey, this is what we're trying to achieve. These are the goals. Let's try to stay in line, because we've seen through our 5 years here, lots of DAOs that have, been strong-armed by people that came in, were able to take positions and liquidate all the assets.
Governance,
right?
Attacks. Yeah.
Right. To the detriment to people that would even from a... from a sentiment perspective, come in and try to really drive some different things. So we just wanted to give this the care that we believed was necessary. And I think that in September of 2024, through the evolution of the team and people really, proving kind of their mettle as far as their loyalties and what they're about. Are they here to just cash out, or would they try to snag assets, or from between the team, between the technology to be able to go to multisig and how we would leverage it. Gotcha. And also, to be frank, look at the macro sentiment from a regulatory perspective, right? It's much different now than if you rewind 5 years ago. So all of those things coincided with, hey, this is opportune for us to make this move and do this and do what the promise was, which was slowly over time, hand more and more of this over to the community with this long-term vision, right? With this long-term vision. We weren't trying to be, let's build something for 5 years from now. Let's build something. We're like, we want to be evergreen. We want to be something that is still here, representing some of these ideals and what we want to carry forward for crypto art, for amazing people like A Lot of Money, who, today's the anniversary of his passing. It was such a big part of our history. All of these things are super important to us. So we try to safeguard all of those carefully. And that's part of why our governance structure was what it was and how it evolved to where it is now.
Got it. That makes sense. And so your connection to Sandbox, you all have at last count 1,699, that just rounded up to 1,700 lands, 39 estates, a big presence. That's 7 million voting power now, as far as voting power calculations go. How did that connection happen?
Whale Shark was an enthusiast in 2018, 2019, 2020, and got involved very early with the Sandbox, you know, pre-release, I believe, and said, this is something that I believe in. And it wasn't unique to Sandbox. He also felt the same way about Crypto Voxels. We own about 200 parcels of land in Crypto Voxels. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Crypto Voxels, but another metaverse that at the time, was really the home of crypto artists really trying to really hone their craft and be able to put their artworks on the metaverse. And it was a belief in the future of a lot of these things, not unique to just the metaverse, but at the time, you know, we are heavy in NBA Top Shot. We have probably the number one collection in NBA Top Shot. So sports collectibles made sense to this guy, right? Crypto art made sense to this guy, specific kinds of art, but crypto art, right? The metaverse just made sense.
Gotcha.
From a gamification standpoint, made sense. Web3 gaming made sense. And so we took positions in these projects that we believed were the future and were important. And not just because we thought they had runway to grow and appreciate in value, which was certainly part of the decision. I mean, Whale Shark is an incredible businessman. He started and sold off all kinds of companies and put himself in position where he could give away $150 million in assets and it's not his anymore, right? That's just a passion project for him. But it was also because of our belief and conviction that the metaverse and Web3 and tokenization is so important for creatives, for decentralization, for enabling people to circumvent, you know, global gatekeeping for different things, to empower people to have a presence where they may not otherwise. Like, all these things were important beyond just the financial opportunity. So took a big position in it and held. We got disgusting offers for our estates through the bull market. Like blow your mind offers. And at the time we said, look, we're not in a position where we need liquidity. And if we're going to do something with this, it's to be meaningful. We're going to set a record, or we're going to be taking that and doing something important with it. So we'll pass, right? Like, I don't even want to say the number because I don't want anyone to bug out. But believe me, we've been here with conviction and diamond handed for a long time, because what's important to us is beyond just the monetary aspect.
Yeah, I would say there's this shared, a shared future, you know, in the metaverse that I think aligns largely with what Whale is trying to achieve, probably what Sandbox is trying to achieve as well. I think that, you know, we see these as interactive, community-driven assets. It's not just virtual real estate. You know, I think one of the things that always attracted me to Whale's holdings of it and its offerings of it was this ability to also you know, talk to creators, artists who, you know, builders who are interested in these kind of virtual architecture build outs, and, you know, what can be done to lend those parcels out to enable these creators to have that opportunity that maybe they didn't already have. Maybe they couldn't afford it. Maybe they just didn't have access to it, but now Whale is in a position to offer it. And, you know, I think that, you know, this is user generated. This is a blockchain powered thing. It's something that can drive engagement through immersive experiences. You know, again, this community model is really central to Whale. And with my experience with Sandbox, at least, that's also what I take away from it. You know, I've been involved in numerous Sandbox experiences, whether it was through Whale or through Dizzy Dragons, through Paris Hilton, McDonald's, you know, Snoop Dogg. You know, there's so many interesting things happening with Sandbox, and I think it's really about that community driving it. and that overlap with Whale, you know, it's just, it to me seems like a very strong synergy. And, you know, going back to you, Lancer, I thought that was where your initial proposal just really kind of resonated so strongly with so many of us. It looked at what Whale presented as an organization and also what we had in our assets. And I feel like you put together something very meaningful.
Go right ahead, Knight.
All right, I just wanted to color that one with one more thing that I think that was pretty interesting when it comes to the origins of Whale. You know, we had all of these land assets early, so the Sandbox, the Crypto Voxel, we were looking on how we could leverage this to empower our community. And so one of the things we did is said, hey, if you are a member here of Whale, you just ask for it and you can have a plot of land in Crypto Voxels in Origin City. And I think we were trying to do it with Sandbox as well, but it just didn't have the mechanism at the time. Whereas in Crypto Voxels, you can assign someone as a collaborator. And it didn't work the same in Sandbox. But nonetheless, we did that. And we had a specific initiative where Whale Shark basically went to the artist community and said, hey, I want anyone that wants this to take a plot of land. And I want you to build whatever you would like on it. And I remember the conversation happening in the Discord, like, hey, what if we wanted to sell these assets or whatever? And he said, look, we have more than enough that if we ever wanted to go to market, we'd be fine. But the beautification and the using and the understanding of that, the value proposition of the metaverse, making that a beautiful, vibrant place is more important than the monetization, because that will uplift the metaverse as a whole. It shows people why it's powerful, why it's empowering. And I think it benefits the projects as well as what we're holding. So I thought that was awesome when I had seen that back in the day. And there are some incredible, incredible historic monuments, you could say, in, you know, Crypto Voxels of these artists in like 2020, like people that are legendary, Xcopy, Coldy, Hackatow, a lot of money that built super dope things, even randos that are a well-known artist just experimenting and what they left in their plot. It's like walking through a time machine at that moment in history. But the rationale that, hey, we need to use these and let people do it because the future of the metaverse and what this represents is so important. I thought that was a beautiful thing. And I think that, you know, it talks to why the metaverse is important to us as a project.
Yeah. And I appreciate your kind words, Mongoose. That to me was like a see a need, feel a need. And earlier when y'all talked about your the great care you all took toward your assets and wanting to maintain provenance, which I had no idea what that word even meant until I interviewed another SIP author, Arthmort, who's a curator in France. And he's the first one to told me the word provenance. And I think I linked it in my response back to you, Mongoose, where I'm like, provenance? And I had him explain to me on stream what that was. And just, and so to me, it was a clear thing of, I really, really wanted, if you all were okay with it, to get you involved in the voting and the participation of it. And it just seemed like a see a need, feel a need of people who are very, you all take great care when it comes to like, Knight, who was it? You just interviewed him the other day. Gladfly, right? Sir Gladfly of the Hoodlums collection for ordinals. Like, I didn't even know what an ordinal really was until I listened to you and him and Mongoose, you all discuss the particulars of that. It's just, it's a great learning experience and a community full of people who are there to help each other, to appreciate art together. And I wasn't much of an art enthusiast before, let's just call it that. I'm not a huge art enthusiast, but it's grown on me a little bit the more I learn about all these particulars that I didn't know about before. And a lot of it's through the stuff that you all go over week to week.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people found their way into Web3 for various reasons, and they start exploring, and, you know, next thing you know, they're in a lot of segments. I'll say our gaming wing on Whale is probably the busiest right now, right? A lot of people playing a lot of cool Web3 games. And I know that's near and dear to your heart as well, Lanzer. So, like, you know, we touch a lot of things, but the crossover is definitely there, and it's part of what makes this space super dope and very cool. I will say, well, relative to participation in the sandbox, that's always been something that as soon as the DAO, the sandbox DAO, was, you know, widely announced, we talked about internally immediately. Okay. Like, we need to participate in it, and we want to, A, because we represent such a huge voting block, and B, because, you know, stewardship of the metaverse is important to us. It always has been part of our ethos as a project. So we intended always to do it. Initially, though, as it was set up, there was challenges for us, right? Clearly, you know, as good of characters that we all have been judged, Whale Shark wasn't about to say, hey, yeah, here's the seed phrase to the Whale Vault, like, go take it for a spin and, you know, cast some votes. Like, it wasn't going to happen. And, you know, we were very, we wanted to do our due diligence on how to be the most secure and how we participate in all of these things. So being able to move things to the multi-sig and have a more secure process in how we would go about voting and how that would not put the assets at risk was serendipitous timing, so that we could get involved relatively quickly after the sandbox had gone live. Although I do believe initially, because I was poking around on the Discord and reading a lot of things, as landowners, our voting power was not really to the breadth that it is now initially, right? I think initially it was more of the token staking and other things. But now we're in good position to be able to do so.
Yeah, and let's roll right into the current Whale DAO in its current format. As you pointed out, it's at least version 2, if not version 3 or 4 by now. But its current iteration, the white paper that I read back in October, how the Whale members is an omniversal private members club that unites, excites, and engages its members. This is a full-on white paper. Was this developed, was this always in existence, or did this come together recently?
Yeah, there's been multiple iterations of the white paper over the years. This is the latest incarnation.
Oh, that's right. At the top. My bad. Five. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Who? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was the first thing I wanted to figure out was, now that you all are with Wavy One, it requests Whale Vaults, Whale members participation in each sandbox proposal. And with that comes, we've seen you vote twice now. One on my proposal and the one after that. And I think the biggest question right now is, to start off, what is important to the Whale Fam community as it pertains to voting?
I'll let you hop in, Mongoose.
I think what you've seen already, Lancer, and anybody who joins in the Discord grabs a role, because it is a role-based Discord, right? In that membership club that you mentioned, we don't require much from membership. Just, you know, you can be a visitor to Discord. You can hold one whale. You can grab a member role just with one whale token in your possession. And it unlocks an incredible opportunity. For the sandbox DAO participation, you know, we want to be able to see what the SIP is that's being discussed. We have someone, in this case, you, Lancer, who's kind of holding a role that kind of helps us interpret what that's about, what the context is for the DAO. And then we want to be able to discuss it. And we've got numerous channels to discuss this in. And I would say the aggregation of that discussion is then what goes before the Whale Council. And we do have a council of 8 people right now, right, Nightmare?
Correct.
Yeah, 8 people that could possibly expand in the future. But these are folks who have been with Whale for a very long time. do have a very clear understanding of the mission, the vision, the ethos behind it, and you know, can represent the community. We do have also an ability for the community to weigh in through an emoji system to be able to kind of read that SIP, understand it, and voice their opinion. But you know, a lot of people discuss these things and never bother to click on the emoji. You know, it's a Discord, sure. Right? People can click on emojis all the time. So we do want to make sure that we have that discussion around it that then helps inform the council. Because the council also are folks who, you know, may not be present for that discussion. We need to be able to have something that can help inform that, you know, there's this checks and balances, I think, right? We have these different bodies that exist within the DAO. And I think that helps avoid centralized governance. It helps distribute that power in many ways. It also gives plenty opportunity for the community to be able to voice their opinions. And, you know, likewise for the council to be able to function within the sandbox DAO and still be able to vote and represent it. And, you know, I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier too, the idea of provenance. The blockchain I've always thought is a beautiful system because it's an immutable ledger, right? My initial experience with it was just looking at it from like a financial point of view, right? To be able to understand that, when something goes somewhere, it gets there accurately and you know who sent it, who received it, right? But when we look at the provenance, whether you're talking about that transaction or a token of art, token of anything, or in this case, a decision made on behalf of a DAO for a DAO, you know, that decision, and this is something we talk about on Natively Digital all the time, right? Every week. I think it probably comes up. Your choices that you make on the blockchain with your wallets, those are what are becoming the foundation of your true digital identity. And this is a kind of a first point in human history where our digital identity is starting to be crafted in this way that, it, you know, it's there. It's it, what you're doing with your wallet, the choices that you make for better or worse, are going to follow you around, but also it represents you, right? Your choices now do actually start to form that identity and color who you are or what organization you are, what your values are, et cetera. So it's not a process that is taken lightly. You see, this is version 5 of the white paper. I imagine there's going to be another version or more. And likewise, I do expect the Whale DAO to continue to evolve with the space. The technology is going to continue to evolve. The matters that are important to us all are going to continue to evolve. And that flexibility, I think, also is a testament to what Nymer alluded to, right? Whale sharks lack the desire just to create something that just, you know, hit the ground running and never changed. I think there has to be an understanding of easing into it and understanding what's there.
Yeah. I'll just put it in here. I would love to help contribute to that in any way I can in the future, if there is.
We certainly know that you are extremely talented and would be a great resource there. Just to dovetail on what Mongoose had said, you know, from a... I think part of your question was what's important to us as the Whale community with regards to voting in the sandbox. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of those core principles that we've touched on, which is responsible stewardship of the metaverse, of history, of crypto art legacy, of our holdings, right, for our community and for our token holders, but more so being responsible, level-headed, good citizens of this space. I think that from a cultural perspective, we put that above all else, and we're blessed to be in a position to do that, right? Like, we don't need to drive a monetary return on the sandbox to exist as an organization. We don't need to drive, you know, make number go up to try to bring it to market. We don't need to do anything like that. So really, it's being, it's taking the governance responsibility that we have seriously. And I will tell you that there were some votes where there were internal discussions and basically you know, this would be better for our interests, but this is what the responsible governance and being representation, you know, and the representative of our project, what that means is. And we made that decision because I think that, you know, trust in us as an organization and, you know, our breadth, we touch a lot more than just the sandbox, right? And so being good actors in this space and being a responsible participant and also, you know, seeing the long-term vision. I mean, these are all things that are core and important to us. And I will caveat that and say that prior to the proposal that came through that requested us to participate in every vote, I was more of the thought process at the time when we were coming together that, hey, if things are pertinent to us and important to us and we have an opinion that would be of value here, then we should participate. And maybe if it's something we feel meaningful to move forward and we just help make quorum, we participate. But we should not, I was not of the thought process that we should participate in every vote. Because what if it doesn't pertain to us? There's instances where it doesn't really pertain to us. I don't think we feel strongly one way or the other. And if we vote, we make quorum happen. And then that vote is going to go through on whether that's a contentious vote with the community or not. And whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not sure. But I thought that that puts a different different lever that we're triggering there, right? We're making things go to a decision either way. That sometimes we didn't necessarily advocate for that, right? We don't feel strongly that it should or shouldn't, but if we vote abstain, then it's going to pass to should or should not. And we don't want to be the responsible vote to do that. But the vote passed. So now we are in that position to have to do that. And I will tell you that I have long been in the Discord, which is a lot of different conversation than the forums on the sandbox. But I am in the weeds there as well. I'm creeping on everybody, listening. I'm checking the conversations. I'm getting the email updates, which helps me. Thank you. But I'm also in there checking profiles and who's commenting on what, and really trying to understand the pulse of the community, because that to me, as the culture guy here at Whale, is very important. If the community within the sandbox feels like, hey, we really believe that, you know, this funding should be more focused on core gameplay and user acquisition and all of these things instead of other things, I'm going to take that into consideration and how I relate and how I position myself in these internal conversations we have within the council. I pride myself on being in the weeds. So I don't want anybody to think, hey, there's some organization over there. They don't know what's going on here. They don't have the pulse of things. I randomly play experiences all the time just to know what's going on. If I can share a frustration and what's happening, if, you know, I tool around in Magic of Voxel. Like, I do a lot. Like, I touch a lot, and I just don't want people to think this is some ivory tower out of touch with what's going on down here at the ground level, because I'm in the ground level. I'm just in the bushes watching.
That's
Lancer, I got to throw in there real quick. I don't know if you knew, but Nightmare and I used to co-host with a Voxel architect, a very dear friend of the Whale community, Noisy. We used to host a Wearable Wednesdays segment for a long time where we did live crafting of metaverse wearables.
Yes, now that Noisy is back from his hiatus, maybe we can convince him to do another event. So we used to always have these thematic builds for whatever was happening. Like, we had one where we sacrificed for the summer solstice. You could sacrifice NFTs, and there was gamification of finding stuff. So hopefully we get a new event going, and we'll pull you into another metaverse to check it out and get some perspective there, Lanzer.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Yeah, I think that was what the perspective was. And for me, I'll just put it out there so everyone knows, I thought that when I first heard that how much land you all had. And then when I got into the Discord, I'm like, where are my sandbox people at? And it was like crickets. It was crickets. And maybe I didn't delve deep enough, because it wasn't obvious to me that you all were in the weeds. And it wasn't until you responded back to my SIP back in January when I asked, when I expressed my reaction to the vote, and then you gave me that almost a mini dissertation of like an academic paper of how you reached the decision that you reached. And once I read that, I'm like, okay, all right, this is good faith. They really did do their homework. I didn't agree with the I was upset, and I didn't agree with the way you all voted. However, I can argue that you all put thought behind it, and it was clear that you cared. And it's the same thing you did with SIP 19, with the user-generated proposal, UGC proposal, how you explained how the cost differential, the scope clarity, the sentiment, the future flexibility, like you had bullet points of here's the factors we considered and here's how we reached the decision. And I'm like, all right, you are clearly paying attention, not from just some ivory tower. And that was very much appreciated. I did. Thank you again. Thank you for taking the time to learn and participate. Like you said, as a good actor, as a responsible citizen, that means a lot to me.
Thank you for recognizing that. And there's nothing personal, like even with the latest SIP that we voted on and where that landed, you know, someone made the point, because I try to be thorough in everything, right? I try to use deductive reasoning and contingency plan and understand what the steps ahead are. And I'm like, look, understand that there is optics here that, hey, someone within our DAO put a proposal and we voted against it. Or someone came to our community, had been there a long time ago, and then just said, hey, I just rejoined and got a membership or whatever. And then we're like, yeah, sorry, we already voted and it was no. Like, there's, you know, there's optics there. But I think the bigger picture should be, look, we are acting in good faith into what is in the best interest of the project and of Whale. And we put, you know, the greater mission above self and above all else. And it's really not personal at all. But just know we are making informed decisions with perspective. Clearly, you know, we have vested interest not only in the assets, but in the culture, right? In the culture itself.
Yeah. And then this one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the show so persistent about it was because I wanted people and myself to see that it's not just an ivory tower taking place here, that there are real people behind it. They're thoughtful, good citizens. And yeah, I was wavy one proposal. It passed for the Whale DAO. And then my proposal went up right after that. That wasn't planned at all. It took me like 8 months to get my proposal passed and to vote. It just so happened to coincide with the same time you all announced the DAO. So, and then Whale DAO, Whale Council chose to vote no, gave me their thoughtful reason behind it. And it hurt my feelings, but we're still here. And clearly, with us being here in the interview together, there's water under the bridge. I didn't take it personally after I saw that there was thought taking place, that it was level-headed, it was reasonable. And that's when I'm like, all right, good, bad, or ugly, whether I agreed or not, I understand the position you're in is difficult. And you have to view not just someone who is part of your DAO as asking for your yes vote, but also the good of the industry, the good of the community, sandbox, yourselves. And yeah, so that's me saying no hard feelings, I guess.
Yeah, we have none on our side as well. And I was really glad to see like some cool ideas in that new proposal that came about because of it afterwards.
Yeah, kind
of
that
that collective to try to entice and reward creators. So, you know, that's part of what, you know, this DAO process enables, right? You go through different iterations and you'll get there. And I'm glad we're having this conversation as well. And I'm glad anyone tuning in that thought we were ivory tower, I'm watching you guys. All right. I'm on there. I'm seeing all these snarky comments. So, you know, look out. Someone asked me once actually, why are you less participatory and more watching? And I think that for me, at least, leveraging 7 million votes, I don't want to go in there and have, you know, I make a comment and people, you know, try to change their perspective or the way that they interact on the post seems a little different. Certainly if I had a question or something I wanted to tweak or get adjusted for something to pass, then maybe I would participate that way. But just for, you know, like showing my presence and then having that have a material effect on the conversation, I think it's more valuable for me as the person that's probably most entrenched in the conversations and what's going on over there to really have a, you know, an unbiased view without influence on what's happening there. Hey, this is what they're talking about without knowing we're in the room. This is what's actually important to them. And so, you know, I appreciate having that perspective, but I'm not opposed. I'm sure there will be a scenario where I say, hey, can you do this or that? Or why do you have whatever? And, you know, things may adjust accordingly.
Yeah. And so it's the 8-person whale council. They have the deciding vote for the whale vault.
That's correct. So again, it's a hybrid structure. Of course, the community sentiment is and wishes is very important to us and taken into consideration. I will say that we've had multiple iterations of the DAO where there was robust conversation and 50 people voting between the Senate and whatnot. And, you know, we're still working on this whole process of for the sandbox, like something was published and someone like the emoji thing that was contentious here on our Discord. I didn't even understand the process and I'm on the team, right? Like this was still something in flux. But I will say that there was a point made that, hey, there were more positive emojis than negative emojis. We're talking a handful of emojis here, like 3, 4, 5. That's not indicative of our 4,000 members. That's apathy, right? That's people not really participating at that point.
I won't argue with you on that one.
Right. And that could be a lot of things, right? We see as the bull cycles come and go, as different things happen, people's interest waxes and wanes. There's a point where we have hundreds of creatives in our Discord only building and looking for tools, or hundreds of speculators or gamers. It changes. So right now, people were like, yeah, whatever. The general sentiment from our community, from our feedback, from our different wings of conversation is, hey, we want stewardship and participation in the sandbox, and we want you guys to lead it with what you think is in the best interest of the project and the sandbox as a whole. And so, of course, fair. we take the community's sentiment into consideration, of course. I would not say that, you know, for this particular, you know, we're talking a tiny issue in the weeds relative to the bigger scope of the DAO, not to minimize your experience here, Lanzer, but the emoji thing where we're talking about it was 5 emojis versus 3 emojis or whatever, clearly that's different than the DAO represented as a whole, right? So I think it's just we needed clarification on process, which I don't know that I'm still clear. I think I need to go back and rehash exactly where that is at. But at the end of the day, the community sentiment is under advisement with the council, and the council, you know, with their various perspectives and what they interact with in this ecosystem and in greater Web3, have to make the call on what they think is in the best interest.
Yeah. I was surprised as well, because even the Wavy One proposal went through multiple iterations where I was going to take the BOTB route, Bulls on the Block route, where it was just a snapshot duplicate. Same thing with Seb DAO. When Seb wants to use his coin and his I think he's got about 300,000 VP himself, he uses a snapshot copy proposal process. And then, you know, I got some feedback in Wavy One throughout the process from yours, Mongoose, Zoro, and others. And then landed on the emoji / community discussion. And so when I first posted in all 3 channels, you know, the whale, the water, deeper water, and then the general, I largely got crickets, and I was surprised. I didn't know what to do with that. So the only thing I had left was the emoji. That was my one thing to hold on to that as part of the process, right, that we had determined. So now, as far as I understand, it's just the discussion, and then somewhat like an emoji is kind of like a ancillary to that. And so that's where we are right now from what I can understand. And I'm sure it will go through more iterative improvements as we think up more ways to involve the community more. Whereas right now, I was having a tough time getting people to discuss it rather than say, yeah, okay, whatever you think. And I'm like, that's not what I was going for.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an issue with Web3 community governance in general. I feel like, you know, a lot of people are there to lurk and just be participants. And, you know, I don't think that means they don't care.
Right.
They may not feel like they can contribute their opinion for one way or another. But, you know, I think this is important too, where it just comes down to the documentation of, you know, what we put forth out there in the charter, the white paper, these papers that exist that are constantly being iterated on, and then the various channels for discussion. You know, some are tailored to specific role holders, like you mentioned, our whale role holders, which is kind of the top tier of the hold to play roles within the Discord. The deep water channel is, you know, generally for like the dolphin role holders. You know, that's a big bulk of it. And, you know, then we have the metaverse channel as well, right? And I believe that's a channel that again, if you just hold one whale, you can participate in that. But, you know, to be able to document across all these channels, all these different papers, whatnot, exactly what the process is, what the discussion is, and then ultimately snapshot voting, you know, then we at least have something to go by for the future. And, you know, this constant iteration isn't just completely baseless, which I think is important.
There's differing opinions within our leadership group and with our team with regards to governments, but I am always a proponent of a more hybrid model because I think that, you know, full automation, we've seen what's happened there from a negative perspective in a lot of ways, right? So I'm always concerned about something like that. Hey, someone sneaks in when, didn't that actually happen recently? Mongoose, we were talking about that. There was a DAO that their attention was elsewhere and someone snuck in a proposal that passed and liquidated. Oh, yeah. And they had to come in over the top and be like, yeah, this was because people weren't paying attention. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that were in whale for a lot of reasons. And there's sandbox holders as well that and people that just play sandbox too. But it's a different space than it was 5 years ago. People have a ton of communities that they touch base with. People get their information a lot of different ways. And they come when they want to and they check in with home base and do different things. But they're not probably, you know, actively all the time there to be able to participate in that way. So even when we had our different governance structure where it was like, hey, people put a formal proposal and it's discussed in this room and these guys are voters and you have to vote or you lose your stake, all this stuff. We had to encourage people like, look, governance is hard. Like Wes talks about, he's in a, what is it? Like a community farm on his rooftop or something. He's like, I can't get people to respond to stuff because it's not the particular thing they care about. Mm-hmm. So like you have to go pull the responses out of people. He's like, I got to go pull someone aside. Like, hey, what did you think of this? Right. And so doing that in a digital community and really advocating and pushing for the conversation is a tough thing to balance. Some people think I just throw it out there. Some people don't want to look like spam. So there's some challenges in that with regards to governance in general, not just Web3. But I think that having that hybrid structure is a feature, not a bug. But that's my personal opinion. And I think that there's a sliding scale of how much every person would like that to be. Some people want it all the way automated. Here's the contract. There's five emojis versus four. The contract activates.
That's what I was going for.
I could not sleep at night knowing that's the case, right? Because some super smart person, Lanzer, is going to come in. No, I'm just kidding. But someone that's going to understand how to leverage that system in a way that would just benefit them when other people may be asleep at the wheel would do so. And some people would say that that's great. Our ethos and our mission and what we're here to do does not align with that.
That's
so
fair.
So maybe we are. Maybe we're 80-20. Maybe we're 75-20, whatever that is. But it's not 100% the contract goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say too, like this is for me coming out of like my personal experience in the physical world too, whether it's working with corporations, like large corporations, nonprofits, or even just artist collectives, you know, where it's very nebulous as to who's coming from where and what the responsibilities are. But, you know, at the end of the day, you do need some sort of structure in place. And I think without a doubt, like there needs to be, you know, some sort of central entity. And I don't want to say centralized entity, but there needs to be someone or some body that's kind of ultimately making the final call and not letting it just be kind of whoever shows up, whoever just happens to participate in that particular conversation, because I've personally seen it in so many different applications that you just can't rely upon that complete decentralized collective mentality. There needs to be a little bit more.
Yeah, that's the way when I developed Wavy 1 is I wanted a system that if I had walked away from it, it would still work. It would still function. And nowhere did that become more apparent when I think it was not this SIP, but the prior SIP. I was late to telling you all that it happened. And then you only had like a week to vote. And then suddenly I felt like a jerk because I missed it. And like, well, man, that's the downside of not having an automated system. I'm heavy process oriented. I love process automation and processes and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think we'll work on it over time. It'll get better, and we'll take this first iteration and then see what we can do to improve upon it. So I'm not too worried about it now that I understand the environment a little bit more. What are some criteria that you all use to vote on SIPs? And the ones that stand out to me, the past two that you've commented on, Knight, in Discord, is cost, scope, sentiment, long-term vision. Are there any others that jump out at you? Or would you amend that list?
I think sentiment is probably one of the most important for me, but I'm the culture guy, right? So I suppose that makes sense. It's in my wheelhouse, but I don't want to make a decision on, for example, the last SIP, and clearly one party was embedded with the community a lot more than the other, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, that plays a role in our decision-making process, and it's weighted heavily. Cost, you know, relative to the budget, I suppose. And just recently I've kind of come to the revelation that there's planned partitions for the budget where they wanted, at least initially, right? Initially they said, hey, this is how much we should spend on this and outreach and marketing and user acquisition and yeah. Had those silos. That wasn't as clear to me initially, but even so, you know, setting precedent, I think, is important. That's something that we talk about. The macro sentiment of the community is probably the most important. What are the player bases? What are the builders? What are the other holders that are a longstanding embedded entrenched in this ecosystem saying? What's important to them? And then what, you know, what do we think is the carryover effect of it, right? Is it a net positive for the initiative and the sandbox? And way down the list would be, you know, what it means relative to our holdings, because of course that's important, but I think, you know, progressive growth and success and health of the sandbox and its player base and community, that comes back to us in kind, you know, in our assets. So, sentiment's probably the most important thing, and really having a good pulse on what that conversation is. And it's not always 100%. It's not always clear. And that's where some of these other things become weighted and become part of it. You know, yeah. I come from a business background as well, like yourself. And I think that, you know, something where I see open-ended or lack of transparency in someone answering something. Or if I see, you know, something that might become a liability instead of the objective initially, you know, it's beyond the scope of what it is. You know, these are things that we take into consideration, but I will tell you, if you think I left the dissertation for what you saw, you should see the internal conversations, which I, you know, clearly I can't show you, but there is robust conversation, and it's contentious even with between us sometimes, right? We have different views and we share them, and we try to come to, you know, come to a conclusion together on what we think is the pathway forward.
Mm. Yeah, I say dissertation. It really was just like some multiple paragraphs, and it was bulleted. You know, now that I say that, dissertation would be like multiple pages worth.
You know, I get you. I get you. It was. I tried to be thorough and poignant, right? I tried to be thorough and poignant. Yeah. I tried to be poignant. I gave you my business shorthand there.
It was good. It was good. I that was very meaningful to me. All right, next one is how does the Will community organize and communicate? We've got Discord, X Spaces.
What else? Yeah, we've got, you know, the Discord is the main hub, right? This is where the community was formed back in 2020, May of 2020. And, you know, that's how I got into it, right? The Clubhouse talk that I experienced that was just an extension, right? And then I think we have all these other extensions, right? The YouTube channel, Twitch channel, the X account. We are also increasingly involved in decentralized social media. You know, we recognize the importance of that. The one that I think we participated the most in, and you can agree or disagree, Nightmare, I think, is DSO, or the current incarnation of that is Focus, previously Diamond or BitClout. I think that Whale has had a presence on that probably since the beginning. Was that 2020, maybe even 2021? But I think there's all that. In addition to in real life or physical events, you know, I think that's something that we're always looking to expand. We've been at various conferences like Token 2049 in Singapore, NFT LA, at that point it was called Outer Edge LA. We did a panel there talking about multi-chain NFTs. We had artists involved in that. Most recently, there's announcements now about our co-sponsoring of the NFC Summit in Lisbon coming up in June.
Nice, congratulations. So
that's going to be a really big one too. Yeah, no, it's going to be great. And you know, as much as we are this omniversal membership club for the natively digital, that omniverse does include the physical world, right? And that's how a lot of us make deeper connections, network. And I think it just builds that more better foundation of our relationships that do exist in the digital world.
And to join Whale community, do you need one Whale, the Ethereum token, or I guess, and Polygon token, right? It's Ethereum and Polygon.
Anyone can hop in our Discord, can check in on our media. Like Mongo said, depending on where we are in the cycle and what's going on, I think on Twitter and YouTube and Twitch, we live streamed 11 events over the past 30 days. A couple of artist interviews, a couple of platform explorations for creators. Of course, we have our Spaces talk where we do natively digital, where we touch on a whole bunch of things along with Wes, who's our head of art and Emmy Award winning host, by the way, and 3-time Jeopardy champion, 4-time Jeopardy. I don't know which one it is, but either way. Yeah, Wes is literally has Emmys.
Holy smokes.
But nonetheless, like, we have all this media that we put out. We'll put out more Medium when we feel the time is appropriate. We'll do Twitter threads. So follow us on Twitter. You'll see what we got going on. You know, you could check out the different interviews and things we do live. Like, there's a lot of things that are great discussions, or we're showing you cool stuff. Like, you learn with Ordinals. But most of all, really, home base for us is the Discord, because there we can use the social token, which is just an intrinsic part of us, right? There we can literally use Whale the token in a social environment. We can't do that on Twitter. We can't do that on Spaces so much. So we love Discord. It's always been home for us. There's a lot of different rooms if you pop in. You do not need Whale to hop on the Discord. I think you could talk in general and see several channels and talk in a bunch of channels without any Whale. But if you do want to grab one Whale, which is whatever, 30 cents or something, and probably there's other ways that you could get it just by participating. People hang out in our live events and we airdrop Whale, right? We tip it out. So like, you get one Whale, then you can post in different channels where we're doing stuff and participate in different ways and get different, you know, we do games for the Super Bowl, for sports. I'm doing stuff with NBA Top Shot, all that kind of stuff. And the goal really is not that people buy Whale, because if it was, why would we have it at one Whale? It's to really make you part of this social currency network and understanding how you use that and how tokenization is important in what we're doing here in Web3, right? It's not just, you know, observing from afar. Like, hop in, get your feet wet, have one token. If you need one, I'm sure there's ways to get it. You know, maybe I'll give you a token, who knows? But hop in, participate, and really be part of what we do. We'd love to have all walks of Web3, whether you're a creator or just enthusiast, or you're on here like, what the hell is this about, guys? Which we get plenty. And you know, either you know, spend some time and explore, or you don't. But I do think we're a very cool home base for people, because we touch on so many different things and you get a lot of exposure to a lot of cool stuff. Some of my most amazing opportunities, things I've done, acquired wins, or just amazing experiences I've had in this space was just by being there when something was happening in Whale. So it's a unique recipe with the people and the community that we have. So welcome everybody to participate. But for communication, keep your eye on the Twitter. Anything we have going on anywhere else, you'll probably see outlined on Twitter, and we'll let you know that as well.
Hey, Natively Digital on Tuesdays, Whale Hour, which is kind of like a town hall, and just hearing from Whale Shark and the rest of the leadership. Got partnerships.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, we're looking at August 2024 here. It's a very different time already in the market. And, you know, likewise, we've also expanded programming. The Whale Hour is still something that's happening usually once a month at least, and it's a great time to hear from Whale leadership, if not Whale Shark himself. Then we also have, like Nightmare mentioned, various artist segments, project showcases that can be broad, kind of hitting multiple things all at once, or really deep dives into a specific artist. I started a show called Creator Toolbox that Nightmare had alluded to, where we are looking specifically at platforms or, you know, people that have been building tools for creators. And again, I'm trying to not even say artists, because I do think that, look at the Sandbox, for example, right? You have a whole variety of creators who are involved in one particular experience, right? From a visual artist to maybe a lighting designer, you know, maybe there's narrative lore type things behind it. It's so much more than just simply who's pushing the JPEGs, you know, yeah. And even that, you know, the JPEGs, there's a lot there. So yeah, there's already a lot happening. There's a lot more that I think is in the works, and you know, it's just an incredible opportunity to learn and experience stuff, and you know, like Nightmare said too. By just being present, by being active, you're going to naturally be picking up Whale. You know, this is kind of the beauty of the social token, is that we do ask for you to be holding that one, just to access even more channels than you can just for free. But then by holding these roles, you get more. You know, that's the whole idea. You have access to more. And, you know, there's a monthly Whale splash of tokens that goes out to role holders. So, you know, there's just so much that I think that can appeal to anybody. So I do recommend that anybody just jumps in the Discord. Zoro has done an incredible job of laying out this Discord, you know, to where you have, you know, a lobby that gives you basic information, and then these, you know, very high level info channels with various articles that we're constantly updating. So, you know, we're also there too in the general channel. You know, if anybody has any questions, just ask, right? There's other people asking.
I'm there too much.
Yeah.
I think that's a carryover from my gaming days, Lancer. Like, I live on Discord. Like, you'd be hard pressed to not catch me on Discord. It's 3 in the morning. It's 8 in the morning. You'll find me there.
Yeah. We had a community question, which are, what are some keys to success for leading a community like WhaleFam?
I think number one is, look, there's a lot of opportunities for people to participate in Web3. A lot of interest clearly in speculation and number go up. And I think that having we see it right now, especially in Web3 gaming, you know, there's like a plague of locusts that will, you know, descend upon a project and then leave at the next opportunity to go to the next thing. And I think that it's important to have something that is bigger than that objective, and that the people believe in, like a mission and a personality and an ethos of why you are there. And so I think that conveying that and really championing that mission of what is bigger than just the financial aspect, and what is something that people believe in that resonates with them, is important. And I think that, you know, secondly, empowering people, within your community. People want to participate in a meaningful way and be recognized, or be able to just be light and pop in and out. But either way, provide opportunities for people to do either. Don't make it so complex that people feel like if they're not contributing a ton that they don't belong in the conversation. And then don't make it so obtuse and so light that people feel like it's not meaningful to be there. So it's a balance to try to, you know, weigh both things and try to apply that to how you manage your community. But I think that we are blessed to be in good position to do that, especially with the legacy that we have of our participation in really the early days of Web3, and that we're still here. A sleeping giant, if you will. Like, we never stopped. We've been churning out content and we've been here having these great conversations. But we're about to head into what many would anticipate to be the upswing of the bull cycle, right? Culminating maybe later this year. Who knows? We didn't collect all of these assets for nothing, right? Not to be meaningful and building something out on our estates, on doing something cool with our 26 OG early X copies, with having these legendary pieces and artists and the mythical cards and gods and chain. We're not just sitting on our hands to do nothing, right? We definitely have plans. So attention can vacillate, but your mission should be steady on what you believe in, what your core ethos is. And of course, talking out the other side of my mouth is being able to read the room and adjust accordingly to suit the needs of what the macro community needs.
What doth our head of partnerships and outreach say?
I got to echo a lot of that. Whale is not the first community that I've been involved with, and it's not the only one I am involved with, right? But I do think that, being able to listen to the community or read what they're typing, understanding the sentiment of what is there. But I think also understanding what's the universal question that's being asked. We're all coming to this from various walks of life, different life experiences, different professional experiences, different creative experiences. Some of us don't speak English. It's not our native language. And that tends to be what the conversation is in. So being able to bring all that together and decipher it, process it, and be able to answer people and I think help them along the journey, right? I think this is something that I firmly believe in. You do have the option to go at it alone and to be just this kind of digital nomad who just wanders around by themselves and doesn't seek help from anybody. You just teach yourself and you come to your own conclusions and you achieve your own route of success purely through that. But I think much with life, I would much rather have the experience of others to help myself along. And then I think also contribute that experience to others and help them along as well. So I think being able to listen and understand what these collective needs are and help communicate too, sometimes the needs of one aren't necessarily in line with the community's need to go forward and how they're going to go forward, and to keep that conversation alive too, right? To not stamp it out, or really just exert yourself and shut somebody out. I think that is important, and I think we can see that conversation in Whale quite often, where there are people who have one opinion, others disagree. There's good conversation about it. And at the end of the day, I think there's generally alignment on things. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you also have to accept anything either, right? You can also dip in and dip out as you need. But as leaders, I think us being constantly present, regardless of the market cycle, that's a real fundamental, right? And I think most great leaders that I've seen in the Web3 space, they are very cognizant of the market, very aware of what's happening on a macro level, as well as the micro level, right? But that's not necessarily what's driving their decisions. It might color their decisions and might inform their decisions, but understanding that North Star, that strategy that's, that brought you here to begin with. That's ultimately, I think, what you have to latch onto. It can't be the market.
That thing that brought you here in the beginning. Right on. Thank you both, Night Mongoose. That was our community question. And I always run through these at the very end, the sandbox spaces. What you'll see at the very end, one is a particular, I've been doing this for 61 episodes now. So places where sandbox gathers is Discord, the hashtag DAO discussion, also the sandbox DAO forums. On Twitter, you have hashtag SamFam, hashtag the sandbox DAO, hashtag the sandbox game. Shout out to the sandbox DAO handle, Arash Selective, and Whale Members Discord, X. On YouTube, we have the sandbox DAO, Lanzer YT, which is the podcast you're listening to right now, and SamFam Cafe. Shout out to Pigaxe Master in the chat, who hosts that normally. And then if you're into X spaces, today is Mochaverse Hall. So that's on Mondays with G is Us. Saturdays is Bulls on the Block. They're primarily ApeCoin and Sandbox. And then Coffee with Captains Monday through Friday. And last but not least, on Tuesday, we have Natively Digital with Whale Members. So 61 episodes I've been going over these, by the way. So I thought that was kind of a neat thing. So we're at the end. Is there anything that you all would like to go over? Any shout outs you'd like to give before we conclude Mongoose Night?
I think
all
we're good.
I'm at Nightmare.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think thank you for the opportunity to speak to more directly with the Sand Fam. Guys, know that we are not an ivory tower. We are not some scary entity looking to dump on the market either. We're here to meaningfully participate with the best interest of the sandbox and the metaverse and Web3 as a culture moving forward. So all the decisions that we make are with that in mind. Shout out to everybody from the Whale community. Shout out to all of our friends, and a special heartfelt shout out to the legacy of A Lot of Money, who is the patron saint of crypto art, who sadly passed on this date years ago. Beloved artist within the crypto art community and more broadly. And we are blessed to have had his art and his time with us, and his friendship, quite honestly. So it's a somber day for a lot of people that are remembering our friend. We continue to do a lot of what we do because of his legacy and what he meant to the space. I think he embodied a lot of what was good about Web3.
You're here. You're here. Mongoose, Nightmare, thank you both for your time. I really appreciate getting to discuss with you and learn about the Whale community, learn what's important to you all, and just have a discussion. Really appreciate the time and attention you give to the sandbox, especially to your voting power and approaching that with a thoughtful through a thoughtful place. Thank you both, and have a great day.
Peace.
Thanks, Lanzer. Bye.